Great. So if you want to grab your Bibles, we are in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, looking at chapter 15. And we're going to start at verse 50. But before we read God's word together, let's pray. Ready? Wonderful Heavenly Father, thank you that we can get together this morning as a big group and we can look at your word together. Thank you that it can be taught to us, and I pray that by your Spirit you would help us to understand, help us to listen, and help us to love you more because of all that we hear. Amen. Okay, so that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. Let me invite the children to come and join me at the front of this stage. There's lots of space around here. Perhaps a few grown-ups will come with them. Come and join. I'm going to need lots of help, so come and join me down here. There's lots of room. Great. Now, over the last month or so, we've been looking at 1 Corinthians 15, which is all about resurrection, about Jesus' resurrection, and then about our resurrection. And today we're just going to look at the very last verse, okay? So I think it will come up on the screens. This is all about how the resurrection impacts our life today. Okay, let me read it for us. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Now, I think what Paul's saying here is that living in light of the resurrection is a bit like being on first base at rounders. Okay? Lots of you enjoy playing rounders. We had a fairly eventful game at the Church Family Fun Day last week. Okay? So someone hits it, don't they? And then someone's job is to be on first base. And if you're on first base, there's two things that you've got to do. Okay? The first is you've got to stay on the base, haven't you? Okay, you're no use to anyone if you start drifting off over here. You might make a wonderful stop, you might catch it from another fielder, but if you're not on the base, well, it's all in vain, isn't it? You can't stamp them out. You've got to stay on the base, but that's not all. Okay, because there's no use, is it, the first base falling asleep or drifting off. That's the worst thing in the world, isn't it? Someone throws it to them and it just sails past. Now, you've got to get on with it, haven't you, and pay attention and work hard on first base. You've got to stay on the base and work hard. And what Paul tells us is, in terms of how the resurrection impacts our life today, we've got to stand firm, he says, and stick with the message about Jesus' resurrection. Stand firm. But then we've got to get on with God's work. So that's what we're going to look at today. Stand firm and get on with God's work. So firstly, stand firm. Because the resurrection is our only hope in the face of death. Now, to begin with, we need to remember, particularly for those who haven't been here this last month, just what Paul's been saying about resurrection in this chapter. I've got some presents to help us, and I'm going to need some volunteers to come and help me open these presents, okay? Emily, you can come up. Okay, you've got a good one. All right, can you open that? Okay, and then tell us what it is. You got it yet?
It's a chocolate egg.
It is a chocolate egg, okay. That's it, get it, all the paper off. You don't have to be gentle. Okay, now of course, some of us will have had these at Easter, and the events we're talking about are the events we remember at Easter, and there's one way in which Easter eggs help us to remember what Easter is all about, because what's in the middle of the egg, Emily?
Nothing.
Do you want to break it open to have a look? Okay, go on. Get the wrapping off. Okay, it might be we can share this out later. That's it. Get in there. All right. How are you going to do it? Smash it on the floor. Smash it with your fist. Can you get inside? Do you want me to help you? All right. Let's have a look. Oh, wow. Okay. There's nothing in there. Thanks, Emily. All right. I think I should have thought that one through a little bit further. Okay, there'll be a free-for-all after the service. Okay, there's nothing in there, is there? And that reminds us of Jesus' tomb. When the women went to the tomb, what did they find? Nothing. There was nothing in there. Jesus had risen. He was no longer dead. Okay, next present. I need someone to come and help me with this one. Okay, yeah, up you come. Well done. Okay, can you get in there? That's it. Keep going. Well done. Fantastic, thank you. Now, some of us have seen this book before. Okay, this is a history book. Okay, great events that changed the world. And Paul tells us in this chapter, doesn't he, that actually Jesus' resurrection is a real historical event, a real event in history. He tells us there were eyewitnesses. Over 500 people saw it. It's a great event in history that changed the world. Okay, next helper. Right, this one's a bit of a strange one, actually. Okay. Finley, up you come. You can bring Daddy. Is he good at sellotape, Finley? Go on, Adam.
On the affair.
Yeah.
Come on. What is it?
All right, Finley, you're going to rip it open with your dad.
Come on.
Go on.
Let's all do it together.
In a minute, we'll see. Well done. Well done.
Oh, it's a bit strange.
Thanks for that gasp of excitement, Adam. It is a bit strange. Thank you very much, guys. Okay, this is a lock for a door, and this is a can of tuna. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, he was given a new body, a resurrection body, a body that death couldn't touch. So we're told that there was one time when Jesus' disciples were all gathered round, and the door was locked. But Jesus still came into the room. His new body was different in some way. But then we're also told that when he was with his friends, they ate some fish together. I doubt it was tuna from a tin, okay? But he ate some fish. It was a real physical body. So Jesus was giving a new resurrection body, a body that death can't touch. All right, next helper. Okay, they're getting smaller, I'm afraid. Okay, John, can you come and do this one? All right. In you get. Well done. That's it. What's that? An apple. Great. Thanks, John. You can sit down. An apple. Okay, because John also told us about first fruits. Paul also told us about first fruits, didn't he? He told us that just like when the first apple comes on the tree, you know lots of other apples are going to follow. And Jesus' resurrection is like that. He's got the first new physical, new resurrection body. And we, if we belong to Jesus, if we're trusting in Jesus, we can look forward to having the same future, a new resurrection body. Okay, one more, last one. Okay, it's the smallest one. All right, not to those shouting out. Okay, up you come. Brilliant. Well done. Can you get in there?
Oh, man.
What's that?
A conker.
A conker. Fantastic. Thank you. You can sit down. Save the best till last, eh? Now, we will have heard about this last week. Nathan used this as an illustration, didn't he? What happens to a conker if you'd have planted in the ground and wait for a while?
Tree.
Yeah, a tree. A great chestnut tree grows up. Okay, and the tree is the same, isn't it? It's the same thing, but it's much better and greater and more wonderful. And Paul says it's the same with us. If we belong to Jesus, when we die, actually we're given a new body. It's the same, we're the same person, but it's far more wonderful and glorious. Okay, that's all the presents. Okay, let me just grab my notes. So you see, this chapter has been all about resurrection, about Jesus' resurrection and about our resurrection. And Paul, it makes it really clear that our only hope when it comes to death is the resurrection. It's the only thing that can help us. See, death's a big problem, isn't it? And it's a problem that affects all of us. The Bible talks about our lives a bit like flowers of the field. Okay, some of you might have noticed recently, just alongside the church there were beautiful daffodils growing up, full of colour and life all over the place. Well, a few days ago I went out to see what was there, okay? And this is what I found. Now, you wouldn't want to give that to your mum, would you? For a gift. Because flowers don't last very long, do they? One day they're there, full of colour and life, and the next they're gone, wilted, dried up. And the Bible says actually our lives are a bit like that. Death might seem a long way away, but actually our lives are short and fleeting. Actually, death's a big problem, and it's not a problem we can sort out on our own. It's too big for us. Now, again, I need three volunteers, maybe slightly older. Okay? Okay, yeah, up you come. Yeah, you can't, that's great. Anyone else want to come up? Okay, no, you're not older. Okay? Yeah, you can come up again, that's great. Anyone else? AJ, you come up, okay? That's great. Now, you can take your pick. Which one of those do you want? Okay, you put that one on. All right. I think you better put these on. Okay. This is for you. Look at that. All right. It's probably about the right size. Beautiful. Actually, you get a hat as well. Look at that. Fantastic. All right. Lovely. Fantastic. All right, AJ, you get this one. Okay. You ready? You can't wear this to the wedding later, though. All right. There we go. And you get these two. Brilliant. Okay, turn around so everyone can see you. So what have we got? So we've got, there are lots of clever people in our world, aren't there? Okay, some here today. Okay, and lots of people who are trying really hard to fight against death, aren't there? So there's doctors who are trying really hard to stop death. And there's professors and academics who are trying really hard to stop death. And then scientists who are trying really hard to stop death. But how are they doing? Actually, death is still 100%, isn't it? Every human being still faces death. We can't sort death out on our own. It's too big for us. We need help. Okay, you can take them off. Thanks. Just chuck them back here. Well done. Thanks for your help. Well done. Brilliant. Actually, when it comes to death, we need help. And Paul says that's why we need to stick with the resurrection, the message about Jesus' resurrection. Stand firm, he says. Don't move. Now, before we were in Preston, we lived in the US, in America. And in America, where we were, at least in the Midwest, you got tornadoes that would sometimes come across. So here's a picture of a tornado. Okay, and they're really dangerous. They cause a lot of damage. They rip up everything in their path. Whole houses can get ripped up. So lots of people in the Midwest in America have a storm shelter in their garden. Okay, there's a picture of one here. That's before you bury it. It's a kind of capsule. Okay, and there's a picture of what it might look like in your garden. Little entrance. And you go down some stairs, and there's a little area. Okay? And here's a picture of what it looks like inside. It's pretty cramped, isn't it, in there. Now, imagine... Okay, let's leave that picture up. Imagine that I'm here in my storm shelter. Okay? And I know we're going to be in here for a while. We've heard there's a tornado coming. So I brought some provisions and something to do. Okay, now here we are in the storm shelter. Now, it's pretty cramped. It's not very comfortable. And it might be tempting after a little while, or after maybe an hour or so, to think, look, I just want to leave. I want to give up. I want to go somewhere better. I've had enough of spaghetti with sausages in it, although that's pretty good. And I've had enough baked beans, and I don't really want any mushy peas or minestrone soup. And we might be thinking, actually, I just want to leave here and go to the kitchen and get some good stuff out the fridge. Or maybe we're thinking, oh, it's a bit boring. We've played cards for an hour. I want to go and play on the Xbox. in the house. Or maybe we're thinking, actually, it's not very comfortable in here. The chairs are tiny. Okay, and actually, I'd like to go into my house and sit on the sofa. It would be tempting, wouldn't it, to give up and to leave. And it's the same in the Christian faith. It can be tempting to give up on Jesus. It can be tempting to look at other versions of Christianity, versions which maybe seem more exciting, more fun, where maybe people spend a bit less time talking about Jesus and his death and resurrection, and focus more on living life now and having a good time now. Or we might be thinking, well, that looks more fun, more exciting. We can be tempted to give up on Jesus and his resurrection. Or we might be tempted to give up on Jesus altogether. You know, maybe our friends at school, they don't care about Jesus. And as we grow up, we just think, well, it'd be easier not to do all that stuff. It'd be easier to leave Jesus behind. We could be tempted to move away, can't we, from Jesus and his resurrection. But let's look at this next picture, okay? This is a picture after the tornado has struck. Do you see that? Everything is a pile of rubble, isn't it? Apart from that storm shelter. Because you see, when a tornado strikes, the only safe place to be is in the storm shelter. It's worth staying in there, isn't it? And standing firm. And it's the same with the message about Jesus and his resurrection. When death comes, the only safe place to be is in Christ, in Jesus. Naturally, when death comes, no one else can help us. Nothing else can protect us. So Paul says, whatever you do, don't move. Stand firm, stay in there. Stick with the message about Jesus and his resurrection. So that's that kind of first thing of first base, isn't it? Stick on the base. But actually, this isn't a vision of just kind of waiting and doing nothing. The next thing Paul says is to get on with the work we've got to do. Get on with God's work. So our second point this morning is get on with God's work because it will last forever. Get on with God's work because it will last forever. Now I need two volunteers, okay? And you're going to have to be up for a challenge this morning. Okay, I don't want people who are going to give up easily. All right, let's see who we've got. All right, who are we going to have? Who's up for a challenge? Yeah, do you want to come up? Brilliant, okay. Anyone else up for a challenge? Let's see. Who's not been up so far? Yeah, Declan, you can come up. Fantastic, okay? All right, now, what I've got here, okay, is I've got some wooden blocks, all right? And your challenge, just wait a minute, I'm glad that you're eager. Okay, your challenge is to build a tower, okay? Now, you're going to build your tower on this table, okay? Declan, you're going to build your tower on this beach ball, all right? So I'll put it there for you, all right? So you just need to build a nice tower, Declan, on top of the beach ball, okay? All right, off you go. See what you can build. How high can you build? Fantastic. You build yours on the table. Build it nice and high. Fantastic. Fantastic. Don't give up, Declan. Keep going. Keep going. Yeah, that's it. Keep going. Nice and high. Fantastic. That's it. Fantastic. Yeah, keep going. See how big you can build it? Well done. Keep going, Declan. That's it. Keep building. Fantastic. That's it. And you can build other towers around it. You can build another one here. Keep going. Fantastic. All right. Stick at it, Declan. That's it. Oh. Keep going. Wow, this is brilliant. All right. You can build another tower if you like. Just build as many as you want over there. Wow, that's tall. That's tall. All right. Let's stop there. Okay, let's stop there. Declan, how did you find that? Was that easy or tough? Easy. Easy. How's your tower? How's your tower going, Declan? It's hard, isn't it? Okay, boys, you can sit down. Fantastic. Okay? You can keep going after the service. All right? Well done. Well done. Well done. Go and sit down. Well done. Well, Declan had a really hard job, didn't he? It wasn't really fair, was it, Declan? Because you had a ball. And it's really hard, isn't it, to keep going when we know it's not going to last. It's really hard to give something our all when actually it feels like a waste of time. And the resurrection means that God's work is not a waste of time. God's work is going to last. and actually it will last forever. And so it means if we're involved in God's work, it will last. It will be something that sticks. Well, what is God's work? What is God doing in the world? Well, through Jesus, God is gathering a people who are going to live with him forever. Okay, listen to that again. This is what God's doing. Through Jesus, God is gathering a people who are going to live with him forever. Well, that means people need to hear about Jesus. It means people need to trust in him, because the only way to be part of God's family is through Jesus. And then people begin to be changed, don't they? We begin to be changed into the family likeness. And those that belong to Jesus, he's going to give us new bodies, and we're going to be part of his new creation. That's what God's doing in our world. And because of the resurrection, that's going to last forever. Death can't get in the way of it. Death can't stop it. And how can we be involved in God's work? Well, we all heard about this, didn't we, in January, as we looked at gospel partnership together. That's how we can be involved. We can pray. We can pray for those that we know, our friends, our family, people at school, that God would be at work in their lives, drawing them to himself. We can speak. We can share the message about Jesus and his resurrection with our neighbours, with our colleagues, with our friends at school, with friends at football club. We can love one another. That was the third one, wasn't it? And show the work God is doing among us. We can give our resources to those that are involved in gospel work, and maybe mission partners, maybe those teaching others. And actually the next chapter in 1 Corinthians 16 we see all this at work. Paul asked them to collect some money for the church in Jerusalem, which is struggling. He asked them to help him on his journey. We hear about Timothy going to encourage them, the householder Stephanas, who served God's people. All of those people are involved in God's work, and it's not in vain. See, God's work isn't like building on the ball, where it's never going to last. If we're doing God's work, we're building on a solid foundation for a work that will last. Those who belong to Jesus will go through death and out the other side. Before I went to university, I spent a few months in Peru with a team. And we were in Lima, the capital, for 2 months. And the main work we were doing there was a building project. Okay, I've got a picture. Some of you will enjoy this. There you go. You might be able to spot me. Okay, we were a fairly motley crew and not a lot of help on a building site. But you can see in that picture, okay, our job, this was a new church building, and our job was to dig the foundations so that then they could build the building on top. And there were two big jobs that we had. You see the big trenches in the ground. So half of the team, our job was to dig the trenches, and it was really hard work. We had a pickaxe, we had shovels, it was hard work. But there were only really enough tools for half the team to be doing that. So the other half of the team, their job, do you see all those stones right at the back?
Yeah.
Okay, their job was to sort the stones out. Okay, so when we dug up stones, they had to get all the small stones and put them over here, and they had sieves and things like that, and they got all the medium stones and they put them over here, and they got all the big stones and put them over here. They did that for 2 months. Now, for us in the trenches, quite literally, okay, we were looking over at them sieving stones thinking, they've got it easy. I wish I was sieving stones. But then, do you know what happened on the last day of the project? A big truck pulled up outside the building site. Okay, and someone said, right, we need to put the small stones in the truck. So we got all the small stones, we put them in the truck. And then they said, we need to put all the medium-sized stones in the truck. So we got all the medium-sized stones and just threw them in the back as well. And then they said, we've got to get all the big stones and throw them in the truck. So we got all the stones that we'd sorted out for 2 months and just put them in the truck. And it turns out it was just a made-up job to keep half the team busy. Well, you can imagine how they felt, can't you? You see, for 2 months, half of us had been working in vain, completely wasting our time, spending our hours doing something that wouldn't last at all. And half of us had been giving ourselves to a work that was going to last. Those foundations were finished and a church building was built on top of them. And what Paul is saying in this verse is, give your efforts, give your work to something that's going to last. The work of the gospel will last forever. See, it's tempting, isn't it, to give ourselves to other things. Things that are easier, things that are more fun. So we might work hard and give ourselves to possessions, if we can have the next screen up. Okay, maybe a big house. Maybe a fancy car, maybe some new trainers, maybe the latest Premier League football, maybe a new iPhone. But none of those things last, do they? Let's have the next screen. See, all houses fall into ruin eventually. All cars end up at the scrapping yard, don't they? Footballs burst, we've all had that moment. iPhones get cracked, lots of us will have had that moment. New trainers don't stay new for very long. None of these things last, do they? Or we might be tempted to put all our work, all our energies into popularity. Okay, this next screen. Trying to make friends, be popular with others. Maybe we want fame. You know, there's someone playing in front of a huge crowd. Or someone else with their face on the front of a magazine. But fame doesn't last, does it? Popularity doesn't last. Where do those people all end up? Let's have the next screen. Actually, in the end, however famous they might have been, they lie in the graveyard, don't they? Forgotten, unknown. Or maybe in an archive somewhere where a few people read about them. Fame doesn't last. Popularity doesn't last. Or maybe we're tempted to give ourselves to pleasure. You know, that's what we really seek after. Let's have the next screen. Okay, maybe an ice cream. That's mint choc chip is my favourite. Okay, maybe a wonderful holiday at the seaside. Maybe Smarties. Okay, that's a current favourite in our house. Or maybe theme parks. But do any of those things last? They don't, do they? After a week, we come back from our holiday. The ice cream is quickly gone, however slowly you go at the end. The Smarties don't last forever, do they? Actually, the theme park ride is over in a flash. None of these things last. And Paul is saying, give yourself work towards that that's going to last. Our work for God will last forever. And look, it might not look that impressive now, coming to the church prayer meeting, going to the Christian Union meeting at our school to encourage others, giving maybe some of our money to mission partners. Think of the events we've just put on so that others can hear the good news about Jesus. Speaking to our neighbours or our colleagues. Bringing a friend to Christianity Explored. Helping a friend fight sin who's really struggling. Maybe writing to our mission partners to encourage them. None of that seems very impressive, does it? But actually, that's the work that's going to last forever because of the resurrection. Well, as we finish, let me tell you about two men, okay? And there's some pictures coming up. All right, we've heard a bit about them recently. The first is a man called C.T. Studd. Okay, he was a cricketer, a really good cricketer. He played cricket, not with a bat like this, but he played cricket for England. And actually, he was in the very first Ashes match, C.T. Studd. And he was a wealthy man. Okay, he had a big inheritance coming his way. So he had a lot going on. But he left all that, C.T. Studd, to go to China to tell people about Jesus and his resurrection. And then later on to Central Africa. And we might think, what a waste. You know, he could have had a great time playing cricket. With all that money, he could have got a huge house, had a nice life. Is it a waste? Well, listen to what C.T. Studd said. He said, I knew that cricket wouldn't last, and honour wouldn't last, and nothing in this world would last. But it was worthwhile living for the world to come. And some of you will have heard that quote that he said before. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. The other man I want to tell you about is Jim Elliot. This is a book about his life. And actually, I read this book when I was about kind of 8 or 9. And it had a real impact on me. It was the first book that really kind of impacted me. It made me want to use my life for God. Now, Jim Elliot, again, life was going well. He was a popular speaker in America. He just recently got married. But he decided to go to Ecuador to go and speak to the Huarani people, a kind of tribe in the jungle, because they'd never heard about Jesus. No one had ever been to them before. And actually, so they flew over in aeroplanes, they dropped gifts, and at first it was going well. They were able to interact with these people. But actually, quite quickly, stuff started going wrong. And Jim Elliot ended up being killed by the very people that he went to speak the gospel to. Again, was that a waste?
No.
No, it wasn't a waste, Declan, that's right. Because actually, his wife continued that work. People did come to trust in the Lord Jesus. And many others have been inspired to serve the Lord through his life. Listen to the words that he says about this. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You see, because of the resurrection, God's work will last forever. So do you see how Paul is saying the resurrection should matter now? It's not just about waiting for something that's going to come. Paul says, stand firm. Stick to the gospel message about the resurrection. It's our only hope in the face of death. And get on with God's work, because it will last forever. Well, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the resurrection, that Jesus is not dead, that he is alive because you have raised him from the tomb. And we thank you that that changes everything, that if we are in him, we too can look forward to a day when we will be raised, that death is not the end, and we'll be given new bodies just like Jesus. Might that affect our lives now? Lord, when we're tempted to move away from the Lord Jesus, help us to stand firm in the hope that will hold us. And help us to get on with the work that's going to matter, your work of bringing people to trust in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.